going to call the Springfield City Council to order with roll call.
Mayor Lundberg.
Here.
Counselor Van Gordon.
Here.
Counselor Wiley.
Here.
Counselor Moore.
Here.
Counselor Ralston. Counselor Woodrow.
Here.
And Counselor Christianary.
At this time, I'd like to convene the Lane County Board of Commissioners for this November 7th evening meeting and have the record show that Commissioner Sorensen, Lykin, Barr, Stewart, President, and Commissioner Bozovich is absent.
And I'll convene the Lane County Planning Commission, call a meeting to order, and note that everyone's here except Mr. Kuhn and Mr. Diesfeld.
And we sure appreciate the Planning Commission, although your backs are to us, you're going to be facing the correct group, so.
We probably have our best perspective. We have our backs, yeah.
So it's protocol for us to say pledge to allegiance, so will you please stand and join me for the pledge to allegiance? Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We have one item on the agenda this evening, the Springfield 2030 Comprehensive Plan Adoption of Amendments to the Springfield Urban Growth Boundary, the UGB, and Eugene Springfield Metropolitan Area General Plan, designating land to meet employment, land needs for 2010 to 2030 planning period, designating land for natural resources, public facilities, parks, and open space. We're going to conduct a joint meeting with Lane County Board of Commissioners and the Lane County Planning Commission, and a second reading to deliberate adoption of the following ordinance, and that would be Gino.
An ordinance amending the Springfield Urban Growth Boundary, the Eugene Springfield Metropolitan Area General Plan, text and diagram to amend the Metro Plan boundary, adopt the Springfield 2030 Comprehensive Plan, economic and urbanization policy elements and assigned plan designations to newly urbanizable lands, the Springfield zoning map to assign new zoning, the Springfield Development Code to add sections 3.2-915 to 3.2-930, establishing the agricultural urban holding area and land use district, adopting a severability clause and providing an effective date.
All right, the Lane County Board of Commissioners will conduct a third reading to deliberate adoption of the following ordinance. Ordinance number 1304, and ordinance amending the Springfield Urban Growth Boundary, Eugene Springfield Metropolitan Area General Plan, Metro Plan, text and diagram to amend the Metro Plan boundary, adopt the Springfield 2030 Comprehensive Plan, economic and urbanization policy elements and assigned plan designations to the newly urbanized lands, Springfield zoning map to assign new zoning, the Springfield Development Code to add sections 3.2-915 and also 3.2-930, establishing the agricultural urban holding area land use zoning district AG, adopting a severability clause and providing an effective date. Then ordinance number PA 1341 in the matter of amending the Lane County Rural Comprehensive Plan to modify official county plan and zone maps to reflect the expansion of the Springfield Urban Growth Boundary as amended by ordinance PA 1304. And finally, ordinance number 16-05 in the matter of amending Lane Code Chapter 10.600 through 15 to adopt land use regulations applicable within urbanized of all land within Springfield Urban Growth Boundary.
And tonight we have two staff members, one from Lane County, Kira Miller, and Linda Pauley from the City of Springfield, doing a presentation.
Thank you, commissioners and counselors. I'd first like to point out that we would ask our Planning Commission at this time to open up their public meeting this evening as well.
Glad that I did that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I must have missed that. I was reading through the script and I noticed it wasn't on the script, so I should have been listening and not reading. So, anyways, so thanks again for the record. My name is Keir Miller. I just have some brief introductory remarks on logistics for this evening. and then I'll turn it over to Linda Polly, who will provide the staff presentation. So as the commissioners and the councils will recall, we had the first public hearing on this meeting back on September 12th. At that time, the Planning Commission did not have a quorum present, so they participated in the work session, but postponed the hearing until September 20th, at which time no public testimony was received, so the Planning Commission did close the public hearing on this item and rescheduled deliberations till this evening with all of the bodies together. So we're here tonight for deliberations on four separate ordinances. Three of them are specific to Lane County, one of them specific to the city of Springfield. First, Lane County has ordinance number 1304, which is the amendments to the Metropolitan Plan, the Urban Growth Boundary Expansion, and Springfield 2030 Plan. The city has a substantively identical ordinance before them. And then the Planning Commission has two separate ordinances, ordinance 1341 and 1605, which are specific to rural comprehensive plan amendments. And these are the ordinances that will be part of the Planning Commission's deliberations tonight. The Planning Commission in just a bit will be asked to move to the room next door to the Jesse Main Room, where they will deliberate on those two ordinances only. The testimony that's been received during the public record period has not been directed at the Rural Comprehensive Plan Amendment, so that information is not specific to their deliberation. So our game plan is for them to move next door while the elected bodies are deliberating. They'll perform their deliberations and then come back when they are concluded and report on the outcome of those deliberations. I also want to point out we're not asking for final action tonight on this item from the Board of Commissioners. There have been some changes to the ordinance since it was last presented on September 12th, and these will necessitate an additional 13 days before final action can be taken. So there are two motions before the County Commissioners this evening. One, you could set your fourth reading deliberations and possible final action date to December 5th. That is if an additional joint meeting is required with the Springfield City Council, depending on how deliberations go this evening. If the board and the City Council are comfortable separating deliberations and acting individually, we also have December 6th marked as a possible date for the board to take final action. So with that, I will turn it over to Linda unless there are any questions regarding logistics.
Any questions? Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you very much. I'm going to get right into tonight's staff report. Council's asked to conduct joint deliberations with the Lane County Board of Commissioners, make a preliminary decision to adopt, not adopt, or adopt with revisions the proposed 2030 plan amendments as described in Attachment 2, and direct staff to prepare the final findings to support Council's preliminary decision. A third reading and final city decision are scheduled for December 5th. The file number for this project is LRP 2009-00014 Springfield, and for Lane County, the file number is 509-PA13-05393. On September 12th, the City Council, Lane County Board of Commissioners, and the Lane County Planning Commission conducted a joint work session and joint public hearing on the proposed land use changes. After hearing the oral testimony given by eight individuals, the elected officials closed the hearing, kept the record open for public comment until October 14th, and allowed staff until October 21st to add information to the record in response to any new information submitted. The audio recording and minutes for the September 12th meeting provide complete documentation of the oral testimony presented, and the minutes become part of the public record for this file number that I mentioned. Nine parties submitted written materials into the record at the hearing and after the hearing. Copies of that written testimony are included in the council's packet at attachment 3 and in the board's packet at attachment 4. The city's response to the information submitted is in the council and board's packet at attachment 1, briefing memo, and exhibits A and B. The following printed materials have been placed before you tonight. Maps of the proposed UGB expansion and a list of individuals and groups who have submitted testimony and information into the record over the multi-year planning process. Also placed before you are two submittals that were not included in your packet. They were not included because there was, one of them wasn't received in the city's email, and the other one staff overlooked and omitted from your packet. So I'm going to go over those items with you tonight and staff's response to them. Staff did review the information submitted and has concluded that the information submitted does not bring any new information to light that has not already been considered. The first item is a letter from League of Women Voters dated October 13th, President Linda Lynch, League of Women Voters of Lane County. And in her letter, she stated that her organization supports Oregon's land use laws. She stressed the importance to efficiently use urban lands, especially those with existing urban services, to preserve resource lands and minimize cost of providing adequate infrastructure throughout the urbanized area. The letter stated that the city should develop or fully develop available properties that have existing services before extending services to additional areas. The letter noted the challenges to the technical analysis that were provided by other parties and challenges to compliance with state mandated rules and processes, and stated that the city should seriously consider and respond to challenges. The letter also stated that Springfield is not facing an urgent deadline. Our response to that, Exhibit F, the findings. The city's findings provide findings to address all applicable Oregon statutes and rules. Goal 9 requires cities to establish a short-term supply of land for employment growth and a 20-year term supply. Conversion from rural uses to urban uses and densities and provision of adequate infrastructure and efficient extension of urban services occurs through Springfield's annexation process, as explained in and guided by the 2030 Comprehensive Plan Urbanization Element, which is Ordinance Exhibit C, Item 1. Adopting the Kibble EOA, we call the Commercial Industrial Buildable Lands Inventory and Economic Opportunity Analysis, the Kibble EOA for short, is considered to be urgent by the City of Springfield, and it is required by Goal 9. The city needs a contemporary factual basis and economic opportunities analysis to support the city's land use planning decisions, including important decisions about land use, zoning, transportation, and infrastructure planning that are necessary to support the levels of redevelopment that are assumed in this proposal. For example, Glenwood and downtown. The city's UGB expansion brings in suitable parcels of land to meet specific large site employment needs that can be made serviceable within the planning period via relatively short, efficient service connections that will result in compact urban growth form along existing transit-served corridors. The second item that's placed in front of you was an email from Thousand Friends, Mia Nelson, dated October 13th, and attachments that went with it. This email from Mia Nelson states that she still has questions about the technical analysis. She stated her opinion that the right thing to do is provide a full inventory that can be understood without GIS. She raised questions about 4 points. The first one was about questioning how slope constraints were identified in the Kibble inventory. She submitted a topographic map of the IP site, formerly the Weyerhaeuser property. Staff noted that no contour interval or legend is shown in the map. Ms. Nelson questions how slope constraints were derived and stated that she couldn't tell how much acreage had been, quote, wrongly excluded for slope constraint on the BLI. Staff's response is that the Kibble database identifies areas of tax lots with slopes 15% or greater as constrained. Echo Northwest performed that analysis for the city of Springfield, and they used the best available GIS data layer to perform that inventory. The data used is described in the Kibble EOA, page 14, as source of the slope data 10-meter digital elevation model, DEM, file use, slopes over 15, shape file, access 2008. The Kibble database is in the record. The second issue was about, she reiterated previous comments from her earlier letter, which is included in your packet, about the sludge, quote, sludge ponds on the Weyerhaeuser IP site. This issue was already addressed by staff in attachment 1, exhibit A2. And I'm not going to go into the details of it. Unless you have questions, you can ask. Item 3 was about master plan sites. Again, the city's inventory, at the time of the inventory, we had two master plans that were addressed in the inventory. One of them was the Riverbend master plan for the hospital out of Gateway. The other one was the Marcola Meadows site. And so those sites were characterized in the inventory in accordance with those approved master plans. And I think Ms. Nelson's question really has to do with how is each tax lot classified in the inventory. So that's all in the record, how each site was classified. Excuse me. And then she provided another attachment called Kibble Recap. In that attachment, she submitted annotated enlargements of a map that is in the Kibble EOA, map 2-4. And she submitted pages from the Regional Land Information Database identifying a number of sites, but there's no explanation of why these were attached. The last item that she mentioned was about Maple Island Slough and the Goal 5 Natural Resource Site on the Wickland property that's in the North Gateway proposed UGB expansion area. She stated that the area is shown as, the complete site is shown as natural resource, and this issue was brought to light back in 2011 by the property owner, and the city's findings and record provide detailed descriptions of the issue and how it was resolved properly. The Lane County Goal 5 Significant Riparian Corridors map dated January 2004 shows the Mackenzie River riparian resource area for the Wickland site outside the UGB. The item is also addressed in Exhibit F, findings, page 439. And also the proposal requires an updated Goal 5 inventory for the North Gateway site prior to development occurring on that site. I just wanted to state, and kind of wrapping up on these issues, that Springfield's target industries have varied site needs, and the Kibble EOA land need determination is based on the city's assumptions and policy choices that are centered on accommodating the majority of employment growth needs within the UGB, partly through redevelopment of some sites inventoried in the Kibble, and in addition to meeting all of the residential growth needs that the city's 2011 residential plan, which provides 100% of all residential growth within the existing UGB. I mean, the bottom line is you need sites to do that redevelopment, and so our plan assumes that we need those sites for those uses. The city's position is that the Kibble EOA properly balances reasonable assumptions about aspirational target industry land needs for specific types, sizes, and locations of sites based on site needs data about target industries and average sizes of commercial and industrial sites in Springfield. The Kibble EOA assumes that the commercial and industrial land base will continue to be needed to support employment use as it existed at the time of the inventory, excuse me, and to support a sizable portion of the 46% of employment growth that is assumed to not require vacant land. Springfield's Kibble EOA is based on reasonable but aggressive assumptions about redevelopment opportunities within the existing UGB land supply. And that analysis is based on substantial evidence, not speculation. The purpose of the UGB expansion is to provide employment land sites with characteristics that cannot be found within the existing UGB. Thousand Friends seems to be arguing that employers will find sites with the needed site characteristics within the existing UGB, but they have not presented substantial evidence to explain that hypothesis. in the explanation, but also need to address how these sites would be available within the planning period ending 2030 to address the deficit of sites. Thousand Friends has failed to produce such evidence. And if, you know, if the city and county chose to adopt different policies than those that are in the ordinance, and that those policies would assume that more developed or potentially redevelopable sites would be available for redevelopment that adds job capacity and could accommodate the need that's been identified in the Kibble EOA, a lot of additional actions would need to be taken, including adopting findings, demonstrating that these other sites are suitable and that possess the needed site characteristics to meet the identified land needs. They would need to adopt land use regulations. So if it's a 20-acre site, there would need to be divisions on land, restrictions on land divisions. The city would need to adopt land use policies that would require land assembly of smaller tax lots, which would be pretty difficult to do. And then, you know, Thousand Friends is suggesting the city could just, you know, easily, quote, redesignate, rezone, and support repurposing of sites to accommodate a broader range of Springfield's target industries. And a lot of the sites, most of the sites that they included in their first attachment, they're all heavy industrial sites, heavy industrial zoning district. And so that district, we don't believe, would provide suitable sites for some of Springfield's desired target employers. The city would need to rezone land that's currently zoned for heavy industrial to provide sites for those other types of uses. And so upzoning land before the economic conditions support feasibility of redevelopment has potential to produce negative effects and is not sound public policy. Thus, the Kibble and the 2030 urbanization studies have not recommended such rezoning. To summarize, the recent testimony received in response to the proposed plan amendments is predominantly directed to the Kibble EOA land need determination and the UGB amendment location, not to the associated policy changes in exhibits B1, C1, D, and E. And also to summarize, those who provided the recent testimony can be sorted into four groups. One group is those that were not included in the proposed UGB who wish to be included assert that the city's proposed boundary amendment brings in the wrong lands. They assert that the city violated ORS 197-298 and that the city should stop what it's doing, start over with the Kibble process, and also reconsider Goshen. Group two are those who assert that the city erred by not counting certain developed parcels or small parcels within the existing UGB as available inventory to meet 2010-2030 land need. Group three, those in favor of being included, those would be the North Gateway property owners. And group four, those opposed to being included, the Millrace property owners, concerned about how changes in land use will affect them personally and how infrastructure upgrades will occur. After your deliberations tonight, staff and the city attorney will summarize procedural matters and next steps. Staff's available to answer questions about the ordinance, the issues raised and the testimony received, and the city's response to those issues during your deliberations tonight. Thank you.
So at this time, we'd ask for the Planning Commission to move to the Jesse Main room next door. And staff planner for the county will be Lydia McKinney next door.
We'll be waiting for the smoke to come out of the chimney.
We'll hurry.
So the next step on our procedure is to simply start the deliberations, and so it's open, and opening it up for comments, questions, and well, the Planning Commission is going to take a minute here, so we should, have some discussion here. So, yes, Commissioner Lincoln.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Linda, I think this question will be for you. And is that, can we, should we, are we talking among ourselves? Can we ask questions of staff?
Yeah, I can, yeah.
Yeah. So Linda, this question is for you. So I thought it was interesting that the Thousand Friends of Oregon called out specifically the Riverbend Master Plan and the Marcola Meadows Master Plan. Isn't what the urban growth boundary expansion you're looking at, Springfield's not looking at residential, is that correct?
That's correct. This is for employment land need and for that public land piece, not for residential.
So did something happen magically that the Riverbend Master Plan became industrial? I don't know why they'd be calling this out, because isn't the Riverbend Master Plan set up mostly for housing and some commercial aspect? Isn't that correct?
Well, the sites that are not developed right now, I mean, zoned for, I think, mixed-use commercial, community commercial. There is some residential, medium-density residential in that northern piece.
And Marcola Meadows, isn't that the same?
Marcola Meadows has, and it's, I put a copy of that in your packet. It has, I think, 44 acres of land that's zoned commercial within it. The rest of it's residential and is being counted as residential inventory. And the 44 acres, it's not all in one piece. There are villages in the master plan, different villages, and all that information's in your packet. And so, did it answer your question?
Yeah, it answered my question. I was just trying to figure out why they would call those two specific master plans out when you're specifically looking at urban growth boundary expansion for job-creating lands, when I don't view those as job-creating lands. So I'm confused why they would, in your professional opinion.
Well, I think the question came up is because those lands were classified differently in the Kibble database. They were classified as master planned. They weren't classified as vacant, redeveloper, one of the other categories. And that means that we had more specific information about those lands that we provided to the consultant about how those lands would be developed. It was assumed that those lands would develop with those uses.
So recently, Amazon.com announced that they will be moving in, building a new facility in Hillsboro, approximately a little over 300,000 square feet that will be moving in. I don't know if people are aware, but Amazon.com is actually sniffing around here about 3.5 years ago. Do we have a facility here locally that could accommodate them, or do we have land available that could accommodate them as far as a 300,000 square foot facility or land that to build a facility like that to create 1,000 family wage jobs?
I couldn't answer that, but I'm looking at Courtney. She may know of sites. But I mean, that's what this is all about, is the inventory shows how we're classifying all the sites that we do have vacant, potentially redevelopable sites. And it calculates how many sites we need to meet our economic development objectives.
Thank you very much.
Other discussion? Yes, Councilor Wiley.
This is for Linda also. Linda, it kind of bothered me the way that Mia said things like, it's impossible to tell how or if these sites were counted. My best determination is that we're not counted at all. I could not find the Peace Health Master Plan, but suspect these sites were also not counted. And it's kind of casually dissing our work. And yeah. I kind of wondered, have you responded to this, or how you could, why she's taking
well,
this attack?
Well, staff has responded to Mia's request for information. This last one we didn't get until this morning, so. But, I mean, essentially, the data has been available since 2008. We conducted the Kibble inventory in 2008, so it's been out there. People can request it. We're kind of at the last minute trying to scramble to address these questions, but it's been out in the public eye for more than eight years. It's true the technical analysis is difficult to read. It's an Access database file, and so we actually had to re-engage with Echo Northwest to answer some of these questions that came up through the last submittal that 1,000 Friends gave us. It's detailed technical information, and it's huge spreadsheets with all the different constraints. And so, but I did give her, you know, information enough so that she could read that and understand how particular parcels were classified in the inventory.
So the counting issue is not an issue?
Well, you know, I think it's hard for me to respond to that, but I know as someone that's involved in things, it's hard to get into it at that level of what we call getting into the weeds, and that's what it takes. And so I'm sure it's frustrating if you're not the technical person that prepared it, but at the same time, that's why we rely on technical experts to do this work, because it is very technical in nature. It is GIS based. I don't know any other way to do an inventory. She said something about you shouldn't need GIS to be able to read it, but that's how this kind of work is done. We hired good people to do the work that have, you know, good reputation in the state. And
well, it seems like, you know, it's like she can't really find some fault, but she is saying that there seems to be a fault. And I don't think that's... Anyway, I'm hoping that we have some clarification on all that.
It's pretty consistent with other testimony that the Friends organization submits on other proposals similar to ours.
Thank you.
Sure. Somebody else, Councilor Moore?
Yes, I had a question. You mentioned the four groups, and one of them being the mill race property owners. And in looking at that site, there is also public lands that are going to be included. I guess this is Felinda as well. As well as employable lands, is that correct? The dark green is
yes.
The public area. Mm-hmm. And are those, what is that exactly? That's owned by Sub and Willamalane?
Willamalane, Springfield Utility Board, and I think the City of Springfield owns some parcels within that, or joint ownership.
And they're not going to be developed.
That's correct.
Right.
So the dark green are public lands.
Right.
Like the sub water treatment, the Willamette well field, the sand filtration plant, the Willamalane Parks, George Pacific Park, the Middle Fork Path. That path runs through
right.
That dark green area.
Right.
Clearwater Park,
so I guess
the eastern end.
My question just would be, you mentioned their objections, and I recall traffic was one of the issues, and the roads not being paved now. Were there any other specific objections related to, or was it just a matter of the land being developed at some point in time?
I think that's the case. I mean, the other issues raised, I think, were dust, noise, maybe lighting. I forget. I have it listed in the, I can get the briefing memo if you like.
Well, no, that's, I just...
To detail.
And I, you know, I'm listening to some of the objections last time, but I thought there were also some positives involved in that, and the fact that these would be public lands and not developed, and looks, you know. That's it.
Any other?
Hang on. I'm all choked up. We finally got here. Yeah. Any other thoughts or questions? Well, I mean, oh, yes, Commissioner Sorensen.
I think maybe Faye might mention this at the beginning, but I wanted to be clear about, or just understand more clearly, apropos of your coughing, you know, is this sort of the end of the process when the Planning Commission approves, and your Planning Commission is approved, and your council is tonight approving?
Not tonight.
You're going to set it over for?
December 5th.
Okay. And then our board, in all probability, will be setting it over until December 5th?
That's correct. The
5th or 6th.
Recommendation is
whether we do it together.
Yeah.
If we want to do it together, we would
come back here.
Come back on the 5th, and if we want to do it separately, we can do it on the 6th.
Or, I guess, come over to our thing.
Yes.
Just wanted to pose that as a possibility. All right. Okay. Thanks. That's good.
I guess I'd ask a question.
So last time we met, we had some conversation about the North Gateway area in regards to some of the new FEMA NIMs. Has there been any further clarification on that since we met last? Are you still pretty confident that the set-aside lands that are being, I guess, the pink area, that large swath that's kind of been represented as riparian area, is that still pretty consistent with what you're hearing?
Yeah, Commissioner Stewart, I'm Mary Bridget Smith, City Attorney for Springfield. We have no new information to share on that issue from our last briefing. So as far as we know, that process is still working its way through state rulemaking. The City of Springfield is involved, but no new information to share from our, since our last meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Just a question, Linda, for you, to make sure that I understand and a couple of things that you said. The letter by Ms. Nelson was submitted this morning.
It was submitted. She said she sent it to us on the 13th of October, but we didn't get it in our email. So I just got it this morning.
On the 7th.
But we had time to review it. And
I see a 7 or 8 page response dated the same day it did today. Is that largely responsible? Does that include response? It says, my staff reports supplemental findings dated November 7th, response to 1,000 friends.
That was response to the previous testimony that she submitted. As you recall, at the hearing on September 12th, she provided oral testimony, and she also provided written testimony at the hearing.
Okay. The part that I'd missed is that she suggested that she sent it to you in October, but yeah, didn't actually see it until this morning.
That was a second piece.
Yeah, the second piece.
The one that's in front of you tonight in paper.
And you said, I'm just clarifying something else you said. You said that most of this information has been out in the public for 8 years.
The kibble inventory was performed and we finished in July 2008. So it's been available upon request. All the maps, the inventory maps, have been in the kibble EOA. There was an earlier draft beginning in 2008. It was updated in 2009, and then it was updated again in 2015. So all the maps that show which parcels are vacant, potentially redevelopable, et cetera, were in those maps. And the data behind them was available upon request.
Just one last thing I'll say, Madam Mayor, is a couple of your councilors have expressed a little bit of confusion as to why this information came out late and the nature of the information. And I share share what you both said about that. It's a little bit baffling that even October 12th, 13th,
thanks, Madam Mayor. Linda, just a question, and it's, I think I already know the answer. Since I've been on this, the Board of Commissioners, I believe that Springfield has a policy that people have to annex, ask to annex. There's been no forced annexations. There was a lot of testimony at the last meeting, concerns about the land use changing, and the only way it really could change is if the present owner requested it to be brought into the city limits, and then I would imagine probably have to go through some zoning changes to
accommodate
current zoning. So there's quite a
plan
process.
Plan amendment, zoning, and annexation.
And
annexation is where we look at urban services, so we require key urban services to be provided at the time of annexation or through an annexation agreement provisions are made. And so that's when any improvements to roads, et cetera, are determined at that time.
So it's really a conscious decision by the landowner, either the present landowner or future landowner, to actually go through the process, probably several years, and then to actually be able to utilize the industrial.
That's correct.
Thanks.
Yes.
So Commissioner Stewart brought up something I think that's important. So the transportation planning rule does not go into effect until the person who owns the property says, I want to be annexed in. Is that correct?
Actually, no.
It's not correct.
The transportation planning rule, the part that you're talking about, is when the plan amendment occurs. That's when we will be looking at that.
but an urban growth boundary expansion only does not trigger that?
It does not trigger that particular provision of the transportation planning rule. It triggers other provisions, but not the TRIPS generation one.
Okay.
And the reason for that is that that's why the land is being zoned for agriculture urban holding area, because it's being placed in a holding zone that doesn't allow TRIPS to exceed what's already there, essentially. So that part of the rule doesn't have to be addressed at the time of the UGB amendment.
And for the record, just for my colleagues here, especially on the Board of Commissioners, Thousand Prince of Oregon, basically this is a pattern, and this same exact occurrence happened during the residential land study as well. So 11th hour letter was sent in at the very last minute to ask for a response, and so this, I'm actually not surprised at all. And I, in fact, I was kind of expecting it, and so it occurred, and so no surprise here from this commissioner.
Well, probably because all of us, or at least most of us, have been on the council since we undertook this, but it wasn't until I was reading through it again that I went, oh, our data is all the way back to 2008, and then it dawned on me, oh, it's because we've been working on this since that point in time, so of course we're not using different data. I've always been a firm believer that our land use laws were set up to have the orderly growth within our state and to do it in a very well thought out way. And I guess in my mind, we've spent enough years now working on this diligently, putting together extremely technical documents to try and address this. We've looked at every darn court decision that's out there that's been challenged by everyone, including Thousand Friends, to figure out, you know, what is reasonable and prudent and still allows us to grow as a community, because, we recognize in Springfield that our growth is very slow right now, and we need to be able to accommodate growth so that we can, in fact, not only have a viable community, but have jobs for our kids as they're coming out. We're working very hard on CTE and all of these other programs, and we need to have jobs. And to do that, we have to have employers. And to get them here, we need to have enough land to accommodate them, particularly large sites. So this is a long, long work in progress, and we've modified it lots of times, and I've, like many of us, been out in those hot meetings in the middle of the summer with angry people, and have tried our best to make the best proposal possible, and I think this accommodates that, and so we're very hopeful that we can get to a resolution, because then we know that the chances are that you build in a time frame for appeals. So We want to at least get to that point so that we can move forward. So I want to thank all of the staffs for all their hard work all these years, and also to the commissioners for coming over repeatedly and helping us work on this and getting us to this point tonight. And I guess I'm looking at, is there any more discussion? I'm checking with Keir to see where the Planning Commission is at, and he keeps checking. So we'll see where they're at. Do they need to come back in and
make a recommendation?
Make a recommendation, and then we can move forward after that. So stall. Well, I hope all the Springfield people have voted for the gas tax increase, because we're very much hoping for those dollars to repair and maintain our roads. I'm happy to say that we went to Salem today, and we have been left out of congestion mitigation and air quality monies that we were entitled to for several years. And today we came away with $6.9
million.
Wow. Not just for Sprint, but for the area. And we're very happy about that, because that's not where ODOT wanted to be at the beginning of the discussion, but we ended up there. We're very happy to say that we're going to work out an arrangement to actually get those dollars. So it was a little bit of a poker game, I think, to begin with, but we're there. Yes.
Madam Mayor, I have it on good authority that if the spot's time to stall, that Councilor Van Gordon has a 12-minute slideshow that he'd like to show.
12 minutes? That seems like the short version.
Yes.
I almost had to buy Elaine a new iPhone just to fit all the twin pictures.
That's twice as many as normal.
Yeah, exactly.
So the Planning Commission has finished their deliberations and they have a recommendation at this time.
Mayor Lundberg, Chair Stewart, members of the City Council, Board of Commissioners, we did meet. We talked over a number of the issues that were raised at the public hearing. In general terms, the floodplain issue out at the Gateway area, the uncounted land that the Thousand Friends talked about and were concerned about, the uncounted industrial inventory, the issues around the mill race and the folks out there that had concerns about what inclusion in the urban growth boundary might mean for them, and also concern about the CV loop exclusion, not bringing that in because of the exception lands. We've had concerns about these sorts of things before. We talked about this at our previous meetings. We feel that based on some of the comments that you all made at the last meeting as well, we think that the staff has considered all of that, those questions, those concerns, and responded to those issues in a satisfactory manner. And in a unanimous vote, the Lane County Planning Commission is recommending that you adopt ordinance number 1605 and also ordinance number PA 1341. Happy to answer any questions you might have in that regard.
Any questions? No. We thank you so much for your work on this and for making a trip over and
thank you.
Helping us out.
Good luck.
Thank you, Randy. All right. Okay. So, are we at the point for motions, or?
Yes, if you're completed with your deliberations for this evening, then you're at the point for motions for each body to make a motion about moving this forward to the next date, and then I have another procedural matter to bring up about the record after that.
Okay, are there any other comments, sir? No. So we are ready for,
I move for preliminary adoption of the Springfield 2030 plan and amendments to the Springfield Urban Growth Boundary, LP 2009-0014, and direct staff to prepare findings consistent with our deliberations and set this item for final action on December 5th, 2016. Second.
Okay, please vote. Four in favor, two absent.
Okay. Commissioner Farr?
Mr. Chair, I move to set a fourth reading deliberation and possible and final action date for December 6th, 2016 on ordinance number PA 1304, ordinance number PA 1341, and ordinance 1605 at 1:30 in Harris Hall, Lane County Public Service Building.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And no opposed? So it passes 4-0.
Okay.
And please show that Commissioner Bozovich is excused.
I have one remaining procedural issue to bring to your attention. So as we've discussed several times and tonight, this has been a long process. There's been a lot of public input throughout this process, but there has been a big gap between our evidentiary planning commission hearing and the hearing process we did this fall. In our next level of approval, we go to the state, we're reviewing the record, and we have items, mainly public comment, that we want to make sure gets before you and that people who have submitted comment can review and make sure it gets into the record of proceedings.
So part of the information that you have tonight is a staple piece of paper that's called Additional Items Index. That is an index of mainly public comment from stakeholders, community members, property owners, that we are asking that the City Council and the Commission reopen the record for 1 week for the purpose of allowing the public an opportunity to review that index, make sure whatever they wanted to, that if they put something into the record earlier, that it is in fact there, or to make sure that we haven't omitted anything that they had given you earlier. So we're just asking to open the record from November 7th to the 14th for that very specific purpose of making sure that things have gotten before you and that anybody who wanted to get something into the record throughout this process has had the opportunity to review that index and that it's in. We'll post the index on the website so people can review it. All this information has been open to the public this whole time. It's just gone on so long. We just want to make sure that we're covering all the bases when it comes to public participation. So we would ask for the motion to extend the record for that purpose for 1 week.
Is that not new information, however? We're just...
No, not new information.
I move the record be reopened for a period of 7 days to November 14th, 2016, for the purpose of receiving the information listed in the Additional Items Index to give the public an opportunity to make sure the testimony and written documentation they previously submitted has been included in the record of the proceeding.
Second.
Please vote.
Four in favor, two absent.
Mr. Farr?
Mr. Chairman, is the record currently closed or does it need to remain open?
The record is currently closed.
Currently closed, thank you. Mr. Chair, I move to the record be reopened for a period of 7 days to November 14, 2016, for the purpose of receiving the information listed in the Additional Items Index to give the public an opportunity to make sure that testimony and written documentation they provide, they previously submitted, has been included in the record of the proceeding. And thank you, Mr. Chair, for just making up the words.
Second. All right, is there any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. And just one last procedural matter. There's another index called Supplemental Information. That's the information that staff has put in October. It's just additional information to the record to help us at the next level, and that's there as well. It's different than the public comment, but we just wanted you to know what that is. And there's also hard copies here if people want. I don't think I have anything else.
Yeah, and we have date certain.
Yes, so it sounds like December 5th for the City Council and December 6th for the Commissioners.
Great. Thank you. Okay, and thank you to the Commissioners very much. We're moving forward, and so I'm going to adjourn the Council meeting.
Okay, and the Lane County Board of Commissioners is adjourned.
Let me show you. All right.
I appreciate it.